You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avner Kurd. We invite you to be a part of our congregation today, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you. Father, we are certainly thankful that you allowed your Son to come into this world to die on that cruel cross so that he could take our sins away. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We thank you for our congregation today. We're trusting that as our service goes forth, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to every heart. You see each one, and thank God you love each one, and we pray that you'll minister to their needs, whether it be a physical need or a spiritual need, for we know there's nothing impossible with thee. So bless this broadcast and bless this precious people. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
As a child I foolishly turned not knowing the heartache a sinner must face. But God in His goodness has let me return to share with His children this lesson I've learned.
take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly, taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. So with pleasure and promises, sin took control, leaving me dying with nothing to show.
Our subject for today's broadcast, sin is a reproach to any people. And our text of scripture is found in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What is sin? Well, the apostle told us that sin is the transgression of the law of God. And of course, we're living under the new covenant. And so what he was talking about, sin is the transgression of the law of Christ. One definition for sin is missing the mark. And certainly, sin will cause anyone to miss the mark. When we think about sin, we think about an act or deed, thought, contrary to the will of Almighty God. All sin is committed against God. Some sins are committed against our fellow men, and some sins are committed against ourself. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I would like for you to look with me today at some examples of what sin did as we read in the Old Testament scriptures. First of all, we begin with our forefathers, Adam and Eve. God created them, male and female. He performed the first wedding ceremony, and he gave them a beautiful garden home. And he gave them various kinds of trees with fruits to eat. However, he reserved one for himself. And he told Adam that in the day they ate of that tree, they would surely die. And of course, Adam conveyed that message to Eve. And the tempter came in the garden one day and got her attention and began to talk to her, and she made the grave mistake by talking back. And he persuaded her and lied to her in telling her that if she ate of that tree, she would not die. Now she knew what God had said. Imputed sin is whenever a person knowingly does that which is contrary to the teachings of the Scriptures. And Eve certainly knew what God had said. However, she did yield to the tempter, and she ate of the fruit of the tree, and not only did she eat, but she gave to her husband. And the results was that both of them died, spiritually speaking. Not only did they die spiritually, being separated from God, separated from the source of life, but he drove them out of the garden. They lost their beautiful home, and they started on a miserable life. We would hope that somewhere along the way they were restored to favor with God, though the Bible does not actually tell us that. So sin cost them spiritual life, and it cost them their beautiful home, and they started on a miserable way of living. Then we come to the times of Noah. The Bible tells us in Genesis 6 that the people in that day were wicked. The very thoughts and the imagination of their hearts were only wicked continually. And so much so that God was determined to destroy the antediluvian world. However, he found a righteous man there who was doing his utmost to obey him and to do his will, and he would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. So he had Noah to prepare an ark for the salvation of himself and his family. And the rest of the world would not believe Noah's message. They mocked him and disobeyed his preaching. You know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and so he warned the people, but they would not take heed, and they were killed or died in the flood that God sent upon the earth. And then we come on down in the Scriptures, and we find that after Moses died, Joshua took over the leadership of the children of Israel. And the Lord told Joshua to tell the people, whenever they crossed the Jordan into the promised land, they would take the city of Jericho, but they were not to take of any of the spoils. They were not to take any of it for themselves. It was to go into the treasury of the Lord. And so they went across the Jordan. God performed a miracle there and stopped the flowing of the Jordan, and they went through on dry land. And they camped at Gilgal, and the time came when God told them to march around the city of Jericho one time, and he told them to do that for 6 different days, and on the 7th day they were to march around 7 times, and then the priests were to blow the ram's horn, and the people were to shout. And they did, and the walls came down, and they conquered the city of Jericho. Now there was a little smaller city up the ways called Ai, and Joshua sent spies up there to look out and to look at what the condition was, and they brought back the report, well, it's just a small place. We don't have to send all the troops up there. And so they sent about 3,000 troops to take Ai. However, the men of Ai came out and attacked these 3,000, and they fled. And as a result, 36 of them were slain. And Joshua fell on his face and cried unto God, Lord, you promised to be with us. What's going on here? And the Lord said, there's sin in the camp. You must get it out. And they took tribe by tribe, family by family, and they came to Achan. And Joshua said to Achan, what have you done? And he said, I took of the goodly Babylonian garment, I took some of the golden wedges, and I hid them in my tent. If you'll send someone there, you'll find them. And so, as a result of Achan's sin, now he knew that God had said they were not to take any of it for themselves. So he knowingly, willingly disobeyed God. And as a result, they took Achan, his children, his family, his cattle, and all that pertained to him, and stoned them and piled up stones over them. And so sin cost 36 men of Israel to die, and it cost Achan him and his family's life, and they died. Yes, sin is very, very costly. And then we come down to possibly the greatest king that Israel had, King David. His army was over in what we know today as the country of Jordan, and they were attacking a city that today is known as Ammon, and they were fighting there, but David did not go, as was the usual order, with his army. He stayed at home, and he was walking on the second floor of his house one night, and he saw a beautiful woman bathing, and he sent to find out who she was. And the message came back that she is Uriah, the Hittite's wife. But Uriah was in the army across the Jordan over there in the country of Jordan. He was over there fighting. But by that time, sin had conceived in David's heart, and he sent for her, and he committed adultery with her. And she sent him the message sometime after that she was with child. And, of course, David was the one responsible for that. And he tried to cover his sin, and he sent for Uriah to come home under the pretense that he wanted a report from him of the effects of the battle or how the battle was going. But what he really was trying to do was to cover his sins. And the Bible says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." And so he tried to get this man to go back to his home before he returned to the army. And the man would not go. He spent two nights in the palace there, or near the palace, and would not go. And then David sent a message with him to tell the captain to put him up in the front of the battle, let he be killed. And that's what happened. And the prophet Nathan came to David, and he told him a parable about how a man was coming along and stopped at his friend's house. And this friend had many sheep and cattle of various kinds, but he would not take one of them to prepare his guest a meal. He took from his neighbor one little ewe lamb, and that's all the neighbor had. He took that lamb, and he slew it, and prepared it for his visitor. And when David heard that, he was very angry, and he said, "That man shall die." And the prophet Nathan said, "You are the man." And he told him that the child would die. The child would not live. And he also told him that he would have trouble, wars, for the rest of his reign. Now, God was gracious to David and forgave him, but that did not change the fact that he had to suffer. The child did indeed die. David lay fasting for days, but God would not change his mind. He took the child. Also, David had trouble, and one of his own sons endeavor to overthrow him, and David fled out of the city of Jerusalem to keep from his son killing him. And enough men gathered around David that they defeated his son, and David was able to return to Jerusalem. But how costly that was! Not only the child died, but Nathan told him, "You're going to see your own wives and concubines taken, and men will have relations with them, and you will suffer." And David did indeed suffer. We think about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The three men were traveling along at Abraham's passed by Abraham's place, and Abraham had them to stop and prepared a meal for them. And as they, after they had eaten the meal, they went on their way except for the one that Abraham called Lord. He stayed back and talked with Abraham and told Abraham that they were on their way down to Sodom to see what was going on down there. And Abraham pled for the city. Suppose you find 50 righteous people. And the Lord said, I won't destroy them. 45, 30, 20, 10. Come on down to 10. And the one that Abraham was calling Lord said, if I can find 10 righteous people in that city, I will not destroy it. But he couldn't find them. And the two that had gone on their way came to the gate. And their lot sat in the gate. And he persuaded them to come into his house. They were going to stay in the street. And Lot said, oh, no, you can't do that. You must come into my house. And they did. But before they went to bed, the people of the city, older men, young men, surrounded Lot's house and demanded that Lot bring out those two men that they might know them. Now, they wasn't talking about Lot bringing them out so that they could be introduced to them and they could welcome them to the city. That word know there meant that they were going to rape them. They were going to have sexual relations with them. And the two men blinded their eyes and they wandered around for so long that they gave up and went home. But the angel took a hold of them. Yes, they were angels. The men of the city didn't know it, but they were angels. And they took a hold of Lot and his wife and his virgin daughters and took them out of the city. And God rained fire and brimstone down upon them because of their homosexual way of living. For that was and still is and an abomination in the sight of God. So Sodom and Gomorrah and the villages around about them were destroyed because of their ungodly way of living. And then we come down through the scriptures in the New Testament. We find a couple was professing and lied to the Holy Ghost. There had been a famine there in Jerusalem, and the saints were in need. And Barnabas, a righteous man, had sold a piece of property so that he could give it to the apostles and they could take care of feeding them. And here Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of property, but they wanted to make out like they were giving all when they did not give all. They kept a half of it back, and they took it to Peter and wanted Peter to believe that they were giving all that they got out of this property that they sold. And Peter was given the discernment, and he knew that they had lied. But it was not an ordinary lie. Peter said, why have you allowed Satan to put it in your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And that was a very serious thing. Ananias went first, and he dropped dead at Peter's feet. Sapphira, not knowing what had happened, came in a few hours later, and Peter asked her, did you sell the property for so much? Yes, that's what we sold it for. And then Peter realized and knew that she had lied along with her husband. And he said, now the young men that carried your husband out to bury him is standing at the door ready to take you out. And she fell dead at Peter's feet. Yes, they lied to the Holy Ghost. And the consequences was they dropped dead. And then we think of one of the 12. Jesus chose 12 men to be his helpers in his earthly ministry. And one of them was Judas. And Judas was accepted along with 11. The 11 had confidence in him, and they made him the treasurer of the little band. The Bible says that he carried the bag. In other words, he carried the money that was given to them to help them with their expenses. But he began to steal out of the bag. He became a thief, and he coveted the money, and he also criticized the woman that anointed Jesus' feet with that precious ointment, why wasn't it sold and given to the poor? In other words, why wasn't it sold and put in the bag so I could steal it? And so he coveted this money, and he went to the high priest. He said, now I know that you want to get rid of this man Jesus, and I can help you. How much will you pay me? Now, I don't know how long it took them to come to an agreement, but anyway, they settled on 30 pieces of silver. And so Judas went to the upper room with the rest of them, and there Jesus told him, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you shall betray me? Peter said, is it I? John said, is it I? Mark said, is it I? And Judas said, is it I? Well, Jesus knew and Judas knew. And that night Judas went to the high priest and took them to the Garden of Gethsemane, where they arrested Jesus. And they brought him back across the Kidron Valley, and they gave him a mock trial and took him to Pilate. And after Pilate had sent him to Herod, and Herod sent him back to Pilate, the people demanded that Pilate order Jesus to be crucified. And because they threatened to go over his head to Caesar in Rome, they were given their desire. Jesus was taken and was crucified. But the Bible tells us whenever Judas saw that Jesus was not going to deliver himself, it's evident that Satan had lied to Judas and told him, you can get your money, and Jesus will say, get away, and then you'll have your money. But Jesus did not deliver himself. And so Judas went out and got a rope, climbed up in a tree, tied one end of the rope around the limb of the tree, the other end of the rope around his neck, and he jumped out, and he committed suicide. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin is a reproach to any people. But Jesus Christ came into this world to save us from our sins. And if you're listening today in sin, Jesus Christ is willing to save you from your sins. Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. It would be an encouragement to us if you would let us know the broadcast is a blessing. And our mailing address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being with us today, and we invite you to be with us next week when again we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. To an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Just stay true, I'll give to you life forever. I don't know what I could have done to deserve God's only Son to fight my battles till they're won. For who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. To an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I?